Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. We all know SMC stands for Sunbury Motor Company. Selling more cars. Satisfying more customers. With that comes the need for many great behind-the-scenes employees. While they have many awesome technicians already there ready to serve you, they need more. Because when you have a 107-year dealership that has a great reputation, you're busy. They are looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body, frame and alignment, and towing departments. So whether you're an experienced technician, an entry-level technician looking for your first job, or someone looking for a career change, corner office, they would love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
The game right now is at the plate. High fly ball into right field. She is gone! In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
Yep. That is Vin Scully. He could take the benign and make it fun to listen to. He could take the great and put the exclamation point on it. He gave all of us in my profession the blueprint of how to do the job. Now we all have to do it in our own way, but he gave us the blueprint. I never met him, but a guy I know was playing golf with Vin Scully one day, and Vin Scully hit his drive and it went into the woods, and as they're walking off the tee and going down to get their respective balls, Vin Scully starts to recite Ode to a Tree. Oh, my goodness.
Breaking news on Twitter. NFL is appealing to Sean Watson's six-game suspension, per NFL Network's Tom Pelissero.
Yeah, I expected that. But you know what? You expect that. Well, let me explain something very quickly. And this has nothing to do with what what we're doing here. Okay? I hate talking about that stuff. I hate talking about the Stephen Ross thing. And all that. Man, I just want to talk about games. Now, you can't avoid it. You can't avoid it, okay? You can't. You have to talk about it. But man, I hate talking about it. You know what I mean? It's not fun. Now, some people in this profession find it fun. You know, some people in the profession, they love it. You know, they really don't care as much about the games. But they find it. I don't. You have to talk about it. You have to do it. But golly, it's not fun. You know? No, maybe you, I know. I mean, I think they'll try to get it up to 8 or 9 games. Where now, if it's like 9, it's more than half the season. I think that's where they may go. I don't know. Did they say?
Not that I've seen so far. It was just a general statement that they're going to appeal.
Yeah, okay. Wow. All right. Excuse me. Well, there you go. It's, it was expected. It was expected. So, I'm going to give you, this is the movie for the love of the game, and I'll talk about it in a second. So this is from the movie, Vin Scully.
40 years old as he sits in the dugout here at Yankee Stadium. 40 years old, arm weary and aching. And don't let anybody tell you or Billy that life begins at 40. 4,100 innings, Billy Chappell has walked to the mound in a brilliant 19-year career. But never before, in all those years and in all those innings, has he ever had a date with destiny as he has right now. He will make the fateful walk to the loneliest spot in the world, the pitching mound at Yankee Stadium, in quest of the pitcher's dream, the perfect game. Slowly hang it up, and would a perfect game give him the logical conclusion to the great career?
Kevin Costner said, quote, "We all had scripts except Vin." How about that? You want to know why? The producer, because Vince Scully asked him, he says, "Why don't I have," he said, "I'm supposed to do some stuff today, but I never got a script." And he said, "Vin, you're Vin Scully. Just call the game like you would." He said, "Just call the game." He said, "You're Vin Scully, so just call."
You know, Steve, you get the feeling that Billy Chappell isn't pitching against left-handers, isn't pitching against pinch hitters, he isn't pitching against the Yankees. He's pitching against time. He's pitching against the future, against age, and even when you think about his career, against ending. And tonight, I think he might be able to use that aching old arm one more time to push the sun back up in the sky and give us one more day of summer.
We all had scripts except Vin. The quote from Kevin Costner. Dave Ritchie works without a script, but the play-by-play guy has all the plays scripted out ahead of time. So, wrong guy.
S-U-I-T, that spells suta.
We all had scripts. And he asked, he says, I never did get out of script. He says, "You're Vin Scully. You just call the game." He says, "We're confident you'll do exactly what we need." How about that? Hollywood producers and directors don't work that way. They don't. Now, Matt wants to talk about controversy. He loves it. He wants to talk about Deshaun Watson. I feel like I've ruined the show.
I am perfectly fine talking about Vin Scully today.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because, I mean, you're usually into the juicy stuff.
This thing with Deshaun Watson is what it is anyways. Everything's not surprising. The NFL will get what it wants, and we'll move on.
The NFL will get, let's see what it wants. I don't know. The NFL, in part, is reacting to social media. Because when the six-game suspension came out, let's quote John McClain, who was on the show 2 days ago. What did John say social media was doing down in Houston? Remember what he said? They're getting killed down here, right? That was the exact quote.
Absolutely.
So what are they trying to avoid now?
Well, they're trying to avoid public ridicule.
Exactly. They're trying to avoid, quote, getting killed. And when I, and I mean that, obviously, the figure, you know, as a figure of speech. Okay? But that's what they're trying to avoid. They are trying to stay away from the criticism of a highly sensitive issue, especially when they are in a profession where they're trying to, quote, grow their game, and part of growing the game is to get to a fan base that over time they actually have grown, and that is women. So they're trying to do what they perceive to be is the right thing. And they're obviously they're appealing it because in the end, they're not so sure that, quote, the right thing was done. Now, she went with the precedent of past rulings as to why she went with six games. So she was actually using past precedent as to why she went with six. Again, this may be her not knowing the league as well. At the same time, the league is not good at investigating issues such as these. Nobody is. Our organization wouldn't be. No organization would be good at it. That's why you have authorities. They investigate it.
I really do think the NFL is going to try to get a full year. I do. And if they were to go with 8 or 9, the only reason why they are is they're trying to keep some peace with the NFLPA, which is shocking to me because both these sides never try to keep peace until they have to. If they're truly going to listen to the noise and respond to it, they have to get a year suspension. Adding 2 or 3 games will do nothing to help them in this limelight, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just didn't know Sue, Judge Robinson is an unknown entity to all of us, so I didn't know where she would go with it. So, I don't know. When do we think we'll know?
Seems to be unknown at the moment, but there's also some speculation that a lot of people think this will go to federal court. So it may not even be over after the NFL does its appeal and this whole process goes through. This actually may carry into the regular season, which would just be a disaster for the NFL.
Well, publicity-wise, it is. I mean, for Watson, he'd be out the first 6 games anyway. And he can't go to the facility or anything like that. So in that time, in the first 6 weeks, he's not involved to begin with, so it does give you some time to get that decision, right? As to whether there are more games. I mean, that's how I look at it. All right. See what they want to do with it. If you're Jacoby Brissett, I'd be ready for something. He's already ready for the first 6 games anyway. May have to go through the whole deal. He's already sat out 1 year. Right?
Right, so then minimum for, if you're the Browns, your guy that you're putting in $230 million into isn't going to have played for a year and a half at least.
Yeah. Well, that is the... hey, they acquired him. And what bothered me was... because John has covered every second of this. Here's, of all the answers, this is the one that bothered me. Is when I asked him about the two grand juries, and he said they only used one person each time. Didn't you find that answer bothersome?
Not only that, but I also found it rather precarious that the NFL only used five of the 15 women of the 24 total that they talked to. They only brought five to Sue Robinson. Well, why wouldn't you give her all of them?
But that's more than what the grand jury had. She had five times as many as the grand jury.
Right. No, you're right. All of it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know. See, this is the part that, I think they'll, at minimum they'll go for nine. That's more than half the season. Maybe they'll go for the whole season. I think in going for the whole season, it's going to really draw the ire of the union. So it'll be interesting to see if they're willing to press that against the union. And they very well may. I don't know. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about more fun topics such as this, which the streaming world thinks brings ratings, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Greatest truth in that, of all which is true, is the part where the reality is that for us that broadcast the games, we need you more than you need us. It's true. We need you more than you need us.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, this is what I'm talking about with how sports is covered today. So I went to ESPN.com.
Oh, boy. This is never good.
Here are the headlines. NFL appealing Watson 6-game suspension. 11 live players file antitrust lawsuit against PGA Tour. Dolphins assistant, no directive to tank in 2019. Cards wide receiver Brown charged with criminal speeding. Oh, for God's sakes. Can't we just play games? Those are the headlines.
Don't disagree one bit.
Oh, well. It is what it is. Each one of these headlines is designed for you to click on it.
And they're even sharing, like, trending, like, actual news stories that are on ESPN.com, too, and I find that distasteful as well.
Yeah. Nick Castellanos, big two-run homer today. Phillies beat the Braves 3-1. They scored all three runs in the eighth inning off the bullpen. Charlie Morton was really good today. Zach Wheeler was really good. Wheeler went seven innings, five hits, one run, struck out seven, did not walk a batter through 90 pitches. Got that ERA now to 2.69.
Never understood why he didn't make the All-Star game.
Yeah. But Castellanos, big two-run homer. JT Realmuto drove in a run. Big win for the Phils. Coming from behind on the road at Truist Park to win it. And David Robertson, by the way, came out of the bullpen. He got his 15th save. It was good. He threw 17 pitches, got two strikeouts, didn't allow a base runner. And the Phillies bullpen, everybody, was really good. Was really good. Dominguez, Alvarado, and Robertson. Between the three of them, allowed one hit, struck out three, did not walk a batter. That's good bullpen work. For Castellanos, his ninth homer of the year. And again, there are going to be two teams without the benefit of a trade going to have the two biggest acquisitions down the stretch that could, in all likelihood, make a huge difference. Fernando Tatis Jr. with San Diego and Bryce Harper with Philadelphia. Phils are now 56-48. And they are 6.5 back of the Braves in the race for second. Overall, of course, they're 9.5 back of the Mets. But they won 7 of their last 10. Big win today. And they've really improved their team. Really improved that team. What they did at the deadline yesterday, they ended up getting themselves a legitimate center fielder who can flat out play. Now, Vierling played center field today because they're waiting for the kid to come in. Vierling's brother played for the Spikes last year, as a matter of fact. You know, they got a legit center fielder. Robertson was already there today, got a save with a 17-pitch, 10-strike, ninth inning. And Syndergaard is a huge pickup. And not only that, I feel comfortable about Syndergaard. Usually with guys that are off Tommy John, when they get to August and September, they wear out a little bit because the arm isn't used to throwing that many pitches in a given season after Tommy John. Then the second year after, they're really good. But Syndergaard was not overused by the Angels. And Mickey Moniak is an example of in two areas. Number one, you know I'm not big about drafting guys out of high school. I just think there are too many variables that go against you in terms of the unknowns. And it's more of a roll of the dice. They drafted him out of high school first overall. He is also the adage of people will do not give up on you. You say, well, the Phillies traded him. Yeah, but the Angels want him. You know, he's in that position. He's going to have to play his way out of it. While others, it's just a fact of life, others in the sports world have to play themselves into it. 300 hitter at Lehigh Valley, 130 with the Phillies. So there you go. How'd you feel about Jordan Montgomery?
I was definitely surprised by the move, but I'm not totally like outraged like every other Yankee fan is, because yeah, Jordan Montgomery's been good this year, but he's been also a little on the inconsistent side, so I don't think it's that major of a loss, to be honest with you.
And you get a good defensive guy
in there, so
it is in this regard. he is a really good, and for St. Louis, he'll be like this. If the, you know, the Cardinals and the Phillies right now are even up, I think what the, after the win today, the Phillies have a half game advantage. But he is the definition of the kind of guy you want starting game four of your series. Because at that point, you're down. You've used your 1-2-3 starters. He's the guy you'd love to have starting game four of a series. I feel like he gives you an advantage in game four versus the other team's number four guy. And, of course, you heard the point I made with Tim in my question that every move the Yankees have made since the offseason, Kiner Falefa, Donaldson, Trevino, Benintendi. I didn't include Benintendi. I should have. Benintendi and Bader. What do they all bring to the table? They're all defensive upgrades over the person they're replacing.
No question. And with Bader, when you bring him in, hopefully, and later in the season, we'll see, you'll have really good, either Gold Glove or really good defenders almost around the horn.
Yeah. And Bader is on the IL with Harrison has a heel injury. So they made five former Spikes that got dealt in this thing. Bader played here. Josh Bell. Andrew Moore went from Seattle to the Reds in the Castillo trade. Obviously, Bell went to the Padres. Luke Voit ended up going to the Nationals in the trade. Johan Oviedo ended up going to the Pirates in the Quintana trade. So five guys, former Spikes, ended up being in the trade deadline. So there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Vin Scully, by the way, the star of stars. He was referred to in Jason Stark's column as the reluctant megastar. So Fred Clair, former GM of the Dodgers, president of the Dodgers, he said he's being honored by the LA Sports Council at a significant dinner in Los Angeles, and he said, "Hey Fred, let's go over here. There's a reception area we can visit." So we're talking, having a glass of wine. I think both of us were kind of locked into a conversation. But what was happening was I could see over my shoulder. There's a crowd forming. It was incredible because everyone wants to tell him how much they think of him, how much they love him, how much he means to them, to their families. And Vinny is so gracious that he can't refuse anybody. And it would be overwhelming if it wasn't for Vinny being on the receiving end. So Bob Costas, about 94, 95, is interviewing Ray Charles for an NBC News magazine. Probably spent a couple of hours talking with him. When they're done, the cameras have been turned off, and he says to me, "You know who I'd really like to meet?" So Costas is thinking, he's Ray Charles. He could have met just about anybody he wanted to throughout the course of his life. Who might this be? Vin Scully, he says. And Costas says, I looked at him and said, "Why?" He says, "Well, because I love baseball. But you have to understand, to me, the picture means nothing. It's all about the sound, and Vin Scully's broadcasts are almost musical. So I enjoy baseball so much more listening to him." So Bob Costas set it up. Dodger Stadium. He said, Vin comes walking through the door wearing his, I remember, a royal blue jacket, the way he always had on for a baseball broadcast. And he walked toward Charles and he said, "Ray, my name is Vin Scully and it's a pleasure to meet you." He might as well have said, a pleasant good evening to you wherever you may be, because that's how it struck Ray. And they sat down and we had a combination of baseball and music discussion. Is it Ray Charles? I mean this sincerely. He's Ray freaking Charles. I believe had one of the great experiences of his life.
It's amazing.
I will say this. I'll tell you the times when, okay, on a personal basis, where I've welled up, and that is when a person who doesn't have their sight has said to me, they follow the games through what I say. Now, that also means they probably have no idea what's actually going on, but I mean, but that's when I get really choked up by that.
Of course. So,
yeah. And the only other time I get a little choked up listening to a broadcast is when I hear somebody say, he saw what I saw, and I get, like, I start choking. All right. No. No. Our guy?
Yeah. Our guy.
What's your favorite sport? Well, one where they go around in a circle. Oh, jeez. Really? All right.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Dennis Dodd reports. All right. This in his story today. After the anxiety caused last week regarding further Big Ten expansion, industry sources have indicated the Big Ten is no longer interested in adding Cal, Oregon, Stanford, and Washington. Rights holders were balking at paying the same amount for those schools as the 16 Big Ten schools going forward. Right? What does that go back to what I've said over and over again? Matt, the reason I thought they'd hold at 16 is this. It has to be somebody that makes 80, 85, and it has to be somebody that makes 100, 110.
Correct.
And they are not there. It has nothing to do. That is not an insult. That is not an insult to Stanford, Oregon, Washington, and Cal. That's not an insult. It's just the reality of brand, location, and everything that goes with it. If they could make, they could take 30 and make it 35 or 40. They could. But it's hard when the number's much higher. And the rights holders are going to look at them and go, look, we can't dole out another $100 million a year to them and $100 million to them. And you're talking about $400 million more a year. Because you'd be bringing four more schools in. They're not going. The networks, the rights holders, are not going to do that, Matt. That's the point I've been making over and over again, as this expansion stuff's been running off the rails. I'm like, going, guys, I think they're going to hold at 16 unless it's Notre Dame.
Exactly.
It's about basic economics. See, that's what always concerns me about the suit. When we talk basic economics and he starts counting and then he takes off his shoes to use his toes, I get really concerned. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070.
That spells foul.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, so quiz, trivia time. Where did Vin Scully announce his first Dodgers regular season game?
Oh, I know it was in Philadelphia. Forget the stadium name, but I know it was in Philly.
It was called Shibe Park. Shibe Park in Philadelphia. Which eventually, I think Shibe Park became Connie Mack Stadium, I believe. So, but yeah, that's where he announced his first regular season Dodgers game. And then it went for 67 years. Hits the ball in the woods. Ode to a tree. Oh, boy. Well, in our profession, that's a giant. I'm going to be on the mark tomorrow at 8:30. Let's see. What does the great man want to talk about here? He did send me a note.
I saw that note.
Let's see.
I believe Liv is on the table. Big Ten expansion.
Liv and growing the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Which is fine. Like I said, that's the big... I mean, Dennis Dye slipped it into a story. But what happened is, in discussing with the rights holders of the new TV contract, they basically told them, we're not going to pay $80 to $100 million for each one of those schools. That means that each year, the rights for everybody combined would have to be $320 to $400 million higher. They're not going to do that. With all due respect to some fine universities and fine programs that have a decent brand, in terms of the value to the rights holders, it's not there. Now, they might pay $40 to $60 million per more, but not $80 to $100 million more per year. I mean, that's how you got to look at it. You're looking at your rights holders and saying, you'd have to pay $320 to $400 million more per year, all of you combined, if we add these four. That's why I've repeated over and over again, I didn't see, except for Notre Dame, them going on beyond 16. Because Notre Dame is the only giant chip left in the game. That's it. Again, you just can't do it to do it. Now, you can bring them in, but you're all going to get less. That's the bottom line. That's why the Big Ten, if Notre Dame says no, the Big Ten moves forward with 16. And guess what? They've got the right 16. And the SEC, they've got the right 16. They don't have to go and poach anyone else if they don't want to. It's fun to talk about who might move here and there, but there's also a reality to it, and it's an economic reality to it. Like, Oregon, Washington, Stanford, and Cal would all benefit by going into the Big Ten, but the other Big Ten schools would all get less by them being there. They're not going to go for that. And neither are the rights holders.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.